Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, pet moms, surrogate moms, ladies who are moms without knowing their moms, helping other people. We had in our parish a great-great-great-grandmother. That's 3-4 generations. And before she passed at 96, she had a picture taken with her great-great-great-grandson. So that was kind of fun. So happy Mother's Day. To all that is applicable. Not only is it Mother's Day, but it's also Good Shepherd Sunday. Good Shepherd Sunday always falls on the fourth Sunday of Eastertide, and we hear of Jesus speaking about himself being the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, which we read together, is one of those psalms that you should memorize, you should know. There are some certain prayers we should have in our kit bag for moments when we need to offer something to God, and perhaps the words don't come. That's why we memorize certain prayers. Of course, you all know the Lord's Prayer, right? I mean, that's a given. You learn that, and you know, whenever back in the day. Some of you perhaps know the Hail Mary, which comes from Luke, of course. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Just another wonderful prayer. And then maybe there's simple prayers, like you should know a simple prayer to say grace. You know, bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts which we are about to receive through thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Simple prayers like that. Or maybe the Johnny Appleseed song, which I will not sing for you this morning. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so on. You know that. That's good. But there's some theology in that. There really is. Or how about this one? And we taught this to our boys. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I was told after 8 o'clock church, there's another line to that, which I don't know. So we'll have to explore that. But those are simple prayers. But again, if you were to delve into any one of those, there's some simple but beautiful theology and a beautiful offering of ourselves to God. Such is the case with the 23rd Psalm. Oftentimes, the 23rd Psalm is related to funeral masses or the burial of the dead, because it's certainly in the prayer book. But the 23rd Psalm is not about death, although it speaks of death and walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It is about life. It's about the abundance of life. It's about the refreshment that God provides. It's about the providence that God provides. It's about the fact that we are called by him each by name, and we are called to follow him. And so when King David, great king, who ruled over the United Kingdom of Israel back in the day, wrote this, he wrote it both from a spiritual perspective and also from a very practical perspective. Because you will recall, David himself was a shepherd. When he was chosen by the Lord to replace Saul, the king, of course, he was the least of all the brothers that went before he was chosen. And the Lord was not pleased with any of the brothers, but he was pleased with David, because David had a righteous heart, and he had a mind to seek and to follow God. And so when David was brought before, the Lord recognized that heart and that goodness in him. And so God bestowed upon him the authority of the kingdom. And he ruled with great, great wisdom and with great power. But just like each of us, many, many times he fell short of the glory of God and disappointed God. And God would tell him that. But David also had a righteous heart, and he knew that when he had sinned and when he had disappointed God, and he asked for forgiveness and he asked for repentance, that indeed God would restore him, and God did. And so when we hear and we reflect on the words of the 23rd Psalm, it is both as his experience as a shepherd who knew to take care of his sheep, to protect the sheep, to provide pasture for them so that they could eat, to provide fresh water for them so they would be comfortable, so that they would know the safety of the shepherd. That was certainly a part of it. That was from his experience in the world. But he's also referring to God himself, God being the shepherd, the one that we are called to follow. And so when we hear the opening line, which sets the tone for the rest of the psalm, we hear, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, we don't want for much if you're sitting here. You just had food in your belly. You probably have a roof over your head. You probably have a bed to lay in. Some people don't. Most of us do. And we don't really want for anything material. Now, you may say, "Oh, I want this." Yes, we are wont to say that, you know. I want a new phone. I want a new car. I want a new computer. I want to go on vacation. I want. But all those things are for naught, unless we seek after what God can provide for us. And again, that's refreshment, guidance, protection, and an abundance. So he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He provides an abundance. Again, not an abundance necessarily of food or provisions, but an abundance of all that we can ask for or imagine. And when we talk about the still waters, those are the moments when God calls us to be still and to know truly that he alone is God, to listen for that small, still voice in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls that says, you know, this is what is important. All the rest is not. Being in my presence, being with me in the moment, that's what is important, being by those still waters that run deep. "He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." As I said many times, David strayed and erred many times. But he knew in his heart of hearts when he had done it that indeed he disappointed God. And so when he ate of the bread of the presence in the temple because he was hungry and wasn't thinking, and he ran and hid in the cave, God found him. And God said, David, hello, David, wake up, David. You did wrong. You know you did wrong. You're on the wrong path. It's time to come back to the right path. It's time to come back to that path of righteousness. Because I know, David, you have a righteous heart. I know that you know the difference between good and not good. And you belong to me. I want you on the right path. Now, I know personally in my life, I have fallen off the path. I have gone down paths that I wasn't supposed to go down and paid the price for it. Nothing serious. I never wound up in prison or anything like that. So don't go get all crazy. I'm just saying, you have too, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, you've gone down paths, you've made mistakes, you know. Hopefully, you know, you've corrected those mistakes. I did. Got back on the path and moved forward. David knew what path to be on, but even David, with a righteous heart, fell off that path. That's okay. We can fall off the path, but we need to know that God calls us to be back on the righteous path. He, being the Good Shepherd, calls us to be on that path, to walk with him, to walk side by side with him, to know that mercy and that goodness. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So what is the valley of death? Well, if we were going to get into the weeds, there was a path, it was a road between Jericho and Jerusalem. It was a very treacherous road. A lot of bad people hung out there, robbers and things like that. And so when the shepherd would move his sheep from one place to another, that was a very treacherous part of the journey. So David is referring to that in real time. But what he's also referring to is those moments in our lives when we experience the darkness, when we experience perhaps the absence of God in our lives, when we experience that absence of care, of loving, and of kindness. Not that God ever departs from us, but sometimes we're blind to see how he is still with us. And so David is saying, in those moments of darkness, and they're all, each of us have those moments of darkness in our, throughout the course of our lives, know that God is there. Know that God is present. Know that the Good Shepherd stands in the midst of that darkness with you, as he did with David, and calls you forward out of that darkness into the light. As John tells us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David had many enemies. David had enemies that wanted to overthrow him as king. David had enemies because he fought and was victorious against all of the tribes that tried to destroy his nation, Israel. He had many, many enemies, but on his side, he had the Lord God. He had God on his side. And as Jesus tells us in the Gospels, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I hope none of you has enemies, right? No? Well, you chuckle. But, you know, there are times we're at enmity with others, correct? We're not always in perfect lockstep harmony in righteous, good relationships, right? Whether it's with your spouse, and I'm married, and I know that you all, anybody who's married and says, you don't have any discord in your marriage, or everything's hunky-dory, I say something's wrong with your marriage. Or you're not being honest with yourself. I'm being somewhat facetious. But, you know, there's moments when we don't see eye to eye with others, maybe coworkers, maybe people even at church, maybe somebody in the grocery store, somebody cuts you off at the stop sign. You're not feeling particularly loving. But God is always calling us to that ministry of reconciliation. God is always calling us back into that right relationship, not only with him, but with others as well. And so that table that he prepares before us is that abundance of forgiveness, that abundance of mercy, that abundance of reconciliation that can come only through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because through the cross, Christ reconciled the world to himself. And the world is each of us. We are in the world, but not a part of the world. And then finally, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John 14, the disciples are preparing for Jesus to depart, and Jesus says to them, I am going to a place where I'm going to prepare it for you. And in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you so? And where I go, I will take you with me. In the end, when we depart this life, this world, there is a place prepared for us, a place where there is no sorrow, suffering, or pain, but light and life eternal. In the meantime, there is a place prepared for us here. And part of that place is here, in the house of the Lord, where today you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, I hope, calling you back to himself, calling you back to right relationship with him, calling you to receive the Eucharist today, to receive the Good Shepherd in the Blessed Sacrament, to receive that sense of forgiveness, that sense of restoration, that sense of refreshment, so that you can dwell in the house of the Lord here and now, and finally in the end, forever with him, in that place where there is no sorrow, suffering, or pain. That is what the Good Shepherd provides for us. And of course, the Good Shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows us each by name, knows us each by name. And so if you think you can skate through life being sort of anonymous and sort of just going from this to this without God knowing every intent in your heart, every thought in your mind, and everything in your soul, you're mistaken. Because he does. But he still accepts you, and he still loves you, and he still calls you, and he still wants you to walk with him as the Good Shepherd. And so when we finally get to that place where we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, there will he greet us as we enter, saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord, the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.